Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Happy Valentine's. Some of you guys are going, wait, what? Happy Valentine's to you. I'm so glad you're here today. You know, it's a big weekend, a lot of holiday weekends. We got a lot of people traveling. I'm glad you have come to be a part. You know, Valentine's is always a great time. God is love, and love should be evident in our lives as believers as well. Whether you're in a relationship or not, love should mark our lives. And it's a good reminder on Valentine's of that. Hey, we're continuing our series, Freedom, as you saw in the video. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus 20. And today we want to talk about the freedom God gives us to bless. You know, all throughout this series, we've been looking at ways that the Ten Commandments set us free. Now, most people don't think of commands as being something that gives us freedom. But in reality, it is the very basis of our freedom. In fact, the commandments are not enemies of freedom, but instead they're architects of freedom. So let me explain that a little bit. Talk a little bit about commandments for a moment. Commandments protect freedom by creating boundaries where life can flourish. So parents issue a command to their kids. Hey, don't touch the stove. The purpose is not to restrict the child's joy. It's to protect the ability of the child to be able to use their hands freely, but to recognize that there are consequences of using them in a dangerous place. Now, that's a rule that's not bondage, but instead it's the reason that they can keep using their hands, keep playing, keep exploring, all of those things. So what happens is the rule preserves freedom by preventing damage. And without boundaries, that freedom is quickly lost. Commandments also give direction, which frees us from confusion and from danger. Commandments tell us how the world works. They tell us how we can live in the world so we can operate in confidence. You think about traffic laws. You got stop signs, you got stop lights, you got lanes, you got speed limits. All of those are basically commandments that don't restrict freedom to drive, but they make driving possible and they make driving safe. Without rules, the roads would be chaos and nobody would be free to move. A green light sets you free because a red light restrains somebody else. Commandments also free us for greater things, not lesser things. So you tell your child, you got kids, you tell your child, hey, don't play in the street. It's not because you want them trapped in your yard, but instead you want them to mature and thrive and experience the joys of growing up. So a small no protects a bigger yes down the road. So God's commandments often work like that. The no guards the yes. And commandments so often are given for our good. Commandments also reveal God's intent. They show us God's intent. And what is God's intent for you? Well, it's to live a life that is full or abundant, as the Bible talks about. It's not to live in bondage, but to live free. And each of the Ten Commandments say something about the heart of God to us and the freedom that He wants us as His people to experience. And that's certainly true in the commandment that we see today. It's a commandment that reveals God's heart and God's intent and God's plan. It's a commandment that really centers on the family. So let's talk about the reality of families. And families are complicated. All right, if you grew up in a terrible home, you had a terrible home life, then you know that's true, that families are complicated. If you grew up in a picture-perfect family, you also know it's true. Families are complicated. And as time passes, families are not any less complicated. Today, we have traditional families and blended families and single-parent households and step-parents and step-siblings and half-siblings and grandparents who are raising their grandchildren. You have foster parents. You have adoptive parents. You have shared custody between homes. I mean, modern family life is really like a patchwork. It's not a single picture. not to mention all the changes that have happened just in how the home has been run over the centuries. Who leads? Who disciplines? Who sets the values? What is considered to be normal? What is normal anymore these days? And there are many families that live without any kind of expectation, shared expectations, or common vision for what they want to do or what they want to be about. Life is really interesting these days because life has become easier and life has also become harder all at the same time. Some of us are old enough that we long for the good old days when you used to play in the yard, you drank out of the hose, you stayed out till dark. You came home when you heard dad like give that whistle and you knew, oh, it's time to go. Now it just seems like things are easier and harder. We've got AI, we've got smartphones, and we have all these fears that seem to go with that. We tend to worry about things that are even happening on the other side of the planet. In today's culture, the emotional and mental health of people seems to not exactly be improving. And parents often think to themselves, I can't keep up. Parents are like, I can't keep up with all the things that are going on. Well, like, who cares about 6-7? I mean, what is that all about? You know, I mean, I can't keep up with all the things. Kids, on the other hand, feel at times, hey, I don't feel like anybody even sees me. I don't feel like anybody really knows me or cares about what's going on in my life. And both sides, the parents and the kids, oftentimes feel like they're failing, just not doing it right. And we have today in our world, we have families that are sitting in the same room, yet nobody seems to actually be there. Nobody seems to be present. So years ago, I asked people here at the church to submit prayer requests. Anything you wanted me to pray about, we had a way that you could submit that prayer request. And I was going to pray for every single request that was offered, that was sent in to the church. And we had a ton of people that sent in prayer requests to the church. And I personally prayed for every one of them. You want to know what the most astounding thing was for me about that? Out of all those requests I got, the number one request, and I mean that as in like the number two request was way down the list. The number one request was, I'm estranged from my child or from my parent. Would you please pray for some type of reconciliation to happen? That was by far the number one request that came in. It's a deep hurt, and there are many lives that are within the sound of my voice right now that would say, hey, that's us, that's me. In many ways, families seem more disconnected than ever, even though we have, you know, these family text messages groups, and yet we feel disconnected. People live under the same roof, and yet often they eat separately. They spend evenings in separate rooms. They live on different schedules. They run parallel lives, but they're not watching the same things, talking about the same things, experiencing the same things. It's no wonder that many people today in our world have started giving up on the family. Families today are complicated, and it's not because people love less. It's just because life pulls us in so many directions, maybe more directions than ever before. And yet God steps into the middle of all of our chaos, and he offers a better way. He offers a commandment that brings freedom. Freedom to bless others and to find blessings in our own lives. And before I go on, let me just say that after Easter, just a few weeks, I'm going to be preaching a series of messages on the family called Pressure Cooker. And we're going to talk about the pressures that families face. And I'm doing that because it's a reality that we're all going through, we're all dealing with, we're all struggling with at times. And so we want to talk about it a little bit and see what God's word has to say, because around here at the Fields, we haven't given up on the family. We believe in the family and want to do everything we can to help your family be all that God intends for it to be. Well, we see today a commandment that brings freedom from bitterness. freedom from bitterness. The Ten Commandments were written on two tablets of stone. Now, logical people like you and me think that one tablet would have five commandments and the other would have five commandments. That's because there are 10 and there's two tablets of stone. But I kind of have to believe that this fifth commandment that we're looking at today was on tablet two and not on one. You say, why do you say that? I don't have a good reason here except for what I'm about to explain to you. I can't back it up biblically, but here you go. The first four have to do with our vertical relationship with God, the relationship you have with God. No other gods before me, no idols, honor God's name, honor the Sabbath day. Those four focus on God and our relationship that we have to God, okay? But there's a turn that happens, and it's a turn that goes from the vertical to the horizontal. And now the rest are about relationships that you have with other people. And where do those begin? Well, they begin by God starting in the home. Relationships that matter the most. And so I want us to look at this command, see what it says, and then I'm going to close today's message with some, yeah, but what if kind of questions that can be raised. All right, Exodus chapter 12, or 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Your family of origin is important beyond just being born. Your family of origin impacts more about your life than you'll ever fully realize. God begins this section of horizontal commandments with our family of origin, and he calls upon you and me. He calls on us to honor your parents. It's one of the two commandments that's phrased positively, and it comes with a promise, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So God has a passion for authority, not an obsession, but he has a heart passion, because God knows that authority brings freedom. That's the reason we have government, the reason we have police, principals, teachers, bosses. That's why we are not in favor of anarchy. Authority is foundational to the structure of society. Without it, you have anarchy, you have chaos. And no place is that more evident than in the home. God has established authority to begin in the home. Home is where respect for authority is learned. If you have a child who does not respect authority, you just know that trouble is going to be there a lot in life. And if you don't respect authority, you're going to have trouble in school, you're going to have trouble in job, you're going to have trouble in relationships, you're going to have trouble in society. So it should come as no surprise when there is a breakdown of authority in the home, you end up having a breakdown in people's lives. God gives an important command about the home, about individuals, and really it's being given to society. The world needs this commandment that we're looking at today desperately. So when we look at it and we drill down a little bit, the first word in that verse is honor. We've been through four commandments, yet this is the first time the word honor is used. But don't be fooled. Honor is actually at the root of every one of these commandments. Your life is to honor God. That's what the first four talk about. You do that by putting him first, by devoting yourself to him and no other, by using his name properly, by setting aside a day to worship him. But what does it mean to honor our parents? I mean, our parents aren't God. What does it mean by that? The word honor comes from the same root Hebrew word that we get the word glory. Glory means to make something heavy or weighty. It's to give something substantial to a worthy individual. We talk about giving glory to God. To be given this gift of honor, the honor of being a parent, that's a weighty matter. When you become a parent, there is a weight. I'll never forget standing in the hospital when my first daughter, Berkeley, was born, holding her there in that hospital and just realizing the weight of responsibility I suddenly felt as I held those few pounds in my hands and just promising to God, I'm going to do everything I can to raise my daughter in the ways of the Lord. There is a weight that comes with being a parent. It's an office of significance. And so to honor your parents means to recognize the weight of their responsibility, to internally extend obedience, especially when you're young, but to always extend respect and esteem for the weight of the responsibility of becoming a parent. John Calvin said that honor requires reverence and obedience and gratitude. Honor becomes an attitude we give those who deserve honor. I mean, you think about it in our society today. You think about, like, for example, Veterans Day. On Veterans Day, when we celebrate Veterans Day, we honor those who have served our country. You think about a birthday. On a birthday, we give honor to a person who's made another trip around the sun. When we go to a funeral, we honor our loved one who has passed away. So what is rooted in all of those events? Well, it's love. You may not know the person who served the country, but you love the fact that that person was willing to honorably serve the nation. You love the person who you're celebrating because they've turned another year older. You grieve when a loved one dies because that grief is just a form of love. It's not one we like, but it's just a form of love. Honor is rooted in love. It's to esteem them, to obey them when we're young, to respect them, to be grateful for them. But we don't want to miss the blessing that comes from honor. Honor creates a culture of blessing. Honor creates a culture of blessing. Let's think a little bit more about this idea of honor. And as we do, let's not lose sight of the fact that these are in the Ten Commandments. Now, God gave a lot more commands, but for some reason, these 10 were specifically spelled out. I'm not saying it's his top 10 list, but it's definitely important, and God made it important. And we're told in that list of these 10 commandments that we're to honor our father and mother. So honor is rooted in what makes strong human relationships. We said that when you become a parent, it brings on this weight of responsibility. When you honor your parents, you're acknowledging that that weight was not always easy to carry. It wasn't always easy to be a parent. Most of the people who think it's easy to be a parent don't have kids. It's not easy. But we value the God-given role that has been given to our parents while recognizing, hey, they're not perfect. I'm not a perfect child. They're not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect parent. My kids are not perfect children. Parenting is not easy. And this commandment does something that's great here. The commandment gives room for grace. It gives room for grace. It recognizes the flaws of human nature. I mean, God's not, you know, ignorant of what is going on. It's not like he doesn't understand who we are. He understands who we are. And he understands the brokenness of humanity, and yet this command is there. So it brings this command to honor our father and mother together with understanding that we're honoring flawed people. And yet at the same time, honor creates this culture of blessing, and it makes blessing possible. Look again, the verse, read it again. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So this command is accompanied by a promise of longevity and prosperity. Okay, so let's look at that. Does this mean that a person who honors their father and mother is going to live to be over 100 years of age? And those who do not are going to die very young? No. That's misreading what's being said, the heart of what's being said. The promise is deeper than that. This has to do with fullness and abundance of life. Think more depth and width rather than length. You see, when you honor your parents, your life tends to go smoother. Now, again, I understand I'm painting with a broad brush here, but just paint with me. Honor strengthens relationships. Honor reduces opportunities for conflict. Doesn't completely eliminate it, but it strengthens relationships and it reduces conflict. Honor nurtures emotional health. Think about dishonor, the opposite of that. Dishonor oftentimes produces conflict, strife, bitterness, resentment, instability. God promises that you may live long in the land, and that's because stronger families make stronger communities. They build a stronger sense of character in their children, and they often produce a stronger faith across the generations. Now, are there exceptions? Yes. Broad brush, we said that. I mean, anytime you have humans involved in something, it's going to break down at some point. Human involvement can always disrupt the picture. It doesn't change the truth of the command. It doesn't change the truth of the principle of the command. Honor produces freedom. Dishonor produces strife and chaos. Freedom is impossible where dishonor is normal. Honoring your parents allows wisdom to flow. Dishonor says, I know better than you. I don't need you. Honor says, I value you. I value your experience, your story, your background, your age. Honoring parents has the ability to change people. Honoring your parents has the ability to transform people. Sometimes it's both the parent and the offspring. Sometimes it may just be one of them. That spirit and that idea of honoring your father and mother keeps your heart malleable and soft and tender. It holds off bitterness. It deepens our humility. That's the culture of blessing that is set up by this command. And one of the greatest blessings of this type of honor is this: it puts God in the middle of your imperfect relationship. By choosing to honor your parents, even if mom and dad are flawed just like you, even if things haven't been perfect, it still says, I want to put God in the middle of this relationship. And what happens is that God honors those who honor his commands. He puts his hand of blessing on those who do what he calls us to do. Honor has a way of opening the door for God to work where we cannot. All right. Yeah, but what if? Yeah, but what if? I want to look at a couple of questions that can arise when you look at this commandment. Because some people can look at this commandment and say, yeah, but what if I'm an adult? I mean, I'm not a kid. I don't live in the house anymore. How do adults honor their parents? Well, this commandment that we have here is not just for kids in the home. If you look at it, there's no age limit on this command. It doesn't say anything like, you know, PG-13. It doesn't say anything like that. There's not an age limit that is given. A young child honors their parent primarily through obedience. Obedience. Adults honor their parents primarily through respect and gratitude and listening. For adults, it's not about being under the order of your parents. It's about honoring them with care and with love and with gratitude. You see, obedience to your parents is really seasonal. It's while you're living in the home, under roof, so to speak, when you are a child, when you're a teenager. But honor is not seasonal. Honor is lifelong. There's no age limit. It doesn't have to do with the address that's on your driver's license. Adults honor their aging parents by showing patience and showing compassion. Adults honor their parents by staying connected with them, by calling them, by talking to them, by reaching out to your parents, not just when you need something or money, But it's caring for them and caring for their needs whenever possible. 1 Timothy 5:4 talks about. It's choosing to respect their dignity. And once your parents have passed away, you honor them. You continue to honor them by speaking of them with grace, by cherishing what is good. Maybe even choosing to forgive something you're hanging on to. You honor your parents after they're gone by living out your Christian faith. You say, well, my parents weren't Christians. Doesn't matter. You choose to live out their Christian faith. You seek to reflect their values that have been instilled in you, the good things that they have instilled in you. I bet some of you who are parents or maybe just adults have said, man, I sound like my dad right now. I sound like my mom right now. Oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, you've said something that reflects a value, something that was important to them. So let me raise another question I think is good to ask, and that is, how can parents help their children live out this command? I mean, if you've got kids in the home, how can you help your children to obey this command? I mean, you can sit them down and say, hey, I know you're five, but you're going to listen to this sermon. I mean, you can do that. But over time, how can you help your children live out this command? Let me tell you, this is the best way to do it. Parents, the greatest way that you can help your kids live out this command to honor your father and mother is for you to live an honorable life. That's the greatest way that you can do that. That is certainly going to help them to honor you. Parents model honor by honoring God first, putting God first in their life. They honor what it means to, they model honor by honoring your spouse if you're married, to honor one another in marriage. You honor by being consistent in your faith. You don't just, you know, talk a bunch of spiritual talk and not really demonstrate it or live it out in your life. You honor, you demonstrate honor by being in the Word of God and in worship and in service, trying to demonstrate what it means to be a Christ follower. You model honor by teaching with love, not with fear. You reflect Christ in your heart and in your home and in your words. See, children learn by watching their parents. They learn by watching what their parents do. And so if you want your kids to grow up and live an honorable life, then model that. Show them what that looks like. So of course that leads to a really tough question. What if my parents are not honorable? That's a hard question. What if my parents are not honorable? All right, we know that no one is perfect. But you may have had a parent who lived a really dishonorable life. There may be somebody in the room today, in fact, there may be a lot of somebodies in the room today, that you've been hurt by your parents. Maybe you had a parent that lived immorally. Maybe you had a parent that was alcoholic, was abusive. Maybe you heard a lot of terrible things in your home. Hateful words. Maybe there were hateful actions. Maybe you had a parent that took your innocence away. It's hard. Now, let me be clear about something. Honoring your parents, honoring your father and mother, never means staying in an abusive environment. If you find yourself in an abusive environment, you need to talk to someone, a teacher, a counselor, a pastor, a friend. If you find yourself in a home with abusive parents, you need to talk to someone. God does not intend for you to live in an abusive situation. honoring your parents never requires staying in danger. But if you're here today and you're struggling with a parent that for whatever reason it is, you think does not deserve your respect or your honor, I want to invite you just to think about this verse, maybe in a different way. If you were raised in a home and you've got a lot of hard feelings toward your parents or toward a parent because of something they did or something they said or how you were raised, or maybe they left and you don't even know who they are, I just want to invite you to think just a little, just for a moment, just to think differently. We have to consider the fact that the command, it doesn't really come with any kind of caveats. The command doesn't really say, you know, hey, look down at the bottom with all the exceptions. It doesn't have like the, you know, Apple terms and conditions that you don't ever read. It's not secretly in there somewhere. You know, your parent may have failed you. They may have hurt you. And yet you still have the opportunity and you can still have the desire to honor the commandment. It's tough. And to be honest with you, it means acting like Jesus. Honor is not the same as endorsement. Choosing to honor your parent doesn't mean you're saying, so everything that they did that was bad is okay. It's all good. No. You can honor your parent even if you can't be close to your parent. Even if for whatever reason that relationship is either marred or severed, you can honor them even if you can't be close to them. And you can do so by refusing bitterness. And where possible, by choosing to forgive. And even possibly speaking respectfully, even when you're having to set boundaries with them. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to set boundaries. You can honor your parent by choosing not to retaliate when that would be what feels best. You can honor your parent, even though they may have harmed you in some way, by praying for them. You can honor your parent by acknowledging that according to the word of God, everybody was made in the image of God, including that parent. It means to choose love and to honor someone even when you feel that they're not worthy of it. God's not asking you to rewrite your childhood. God is not asking you to ignore pain that has happened in your life. He's not asking you to do that. Instead, we're looking at it differently. He's inviting you into healing. And that's different. Christ is the model and the source of fulfilling this commandment. The gospel rebuilds broken legacies. In Christ, we find freedom, freedom from bitterness, freedom to choose honor even when it's hard. Christ repairs broken stories. He restores broken families. And this commandment, for some, is very simple. I mean, you've got greeting card parents who fulfill everything that Hallmark has ever written. And for others of you, it is very, very hard. It's very hard to even think about doing this commandment. But whether you have greeting card parents or this is very, very hard for you, both stories have Christ to empower you, to enable you, to support you through it. So our desire should not be to avoid this command and just skip this one. But instead, our desire should be, God, to the best of my ability, and Lord, help me where I'm not able. To the best of my ability, I want to fulfill this command. God, where I fail, where I fall short, God, would you give me grace to help me to succeed? And that's true looking back on our parents that we were raised with. That's true looking that direction. God, give me grace as I look back, even in those things that may be kind of difficult. But also, God, give me grace as I look forward to the next generation, as I'm a parent, as I'm investing in future generations. Because you see, no matter how messed up your past may have been, through Christ, we can become part of a new legacy. We can become part of writing a new story. Through Christ, we receive a new heart, a heart that is capable of honoring, even when it's hard. His Spirit forms in us the very culture of blessing that this command describes. And that can then be passed along to future generations to say, hey, there's a generational train that is behind me of bad stuff, but I'm going to choose not to pass that along to the future generations. For those of you who are old enough, we could call it the cats in the cradle principle. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to the song. But our lives can be models for the next generation for good. And God makes clear that he can do that, but he also makes clear that just as he makes all things new, we're to honor the former generation. And as we honor the former generation, we set the standard for the next generation. So, do something with this message. Do something with this message. Maybe it's something that happens in your own heart. Maybe it is picking up the phone. Maybe it is staying in touch. Maybe it is getting together with them. Maybe it is allowing them to reminisce in that story you've heard a million times. But as my friend Mike Wade says, send flowers before the funeral. Do something with the message, whether they're here or they're gone. Whether they're great or it's difficult. Develop a culture of honor. Because not just for centuries, for millennia, the truth hasn't changed. Honor your father and your mother. Would you bow your head with me today? For some of you today, today's message was really hard. For some of you, the message was a cakewalk. This is great. I got great parents. This is easy to do. For others of you, man, it hurt. The way human nature works is that some of you heard the message and you were like, whew, I'm good on this. And others of you, the way human nature works, some of you are angry right now. Either angry at what they did or angry at what I said. But it may very well be that God wants to do something fresh and new in your life. Maybe God wants to relieve you of something. Maybe God wants you to let go of something you've been hanging on to. It could very well be that God wants to do something in and through you, even in the midst of one verse of scripture that can feel like a gut punch. It's only through Christ that we really can have the power to forgive. We see it modeled by Jesus on the cross, and of course, we experience and receive the forgiveness of God through his death. We receive eternal life through his resurrection. And if you've come to this service today and you've never received Christ as Savior, it's going to be really hard to do any of the commandments of God. Really the way that God's word is lined out without being in a relationship with God. And you can't be in a relationship with God apart from receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you've come here today and you've never received Christ as Savior, but you want to do so, can I just invite you? In just a moment, when we finish singing, right across the hallway is our connect room. We've got ministers waiting there to talk to you about receiving Christ as Savior. And I want to invite you just to go and make your way over there and let the people there talk to you about receiving Christ. You say, well, I don't even know all that you're talking about. Just let us visit with you. Let us talk with you about what it means to know Christ, to be, as Jesus said, born again, to experience eternal life and the forgiveness of God that only comes through Christ, I want to invite you to go today. Others of you maybe need to join our church, or maybe you need to be baptized, or maybe you're feeling God's call in your life to ministry. Whatever it is God is saying to you, God wants to do a work in your heart and your life. But we have to take steps of obedience as God calls us. And if God is calling you to do one of those things, then take that step. Be willing to walk in that room. To walk in that room and let us visit with you about how you can know Christ or join the church or schedule to be baptized or commit your life to ministry or missions. Don't be afraid to go. Some of you, though, are here today and you're struggling right now. Maybe you've got strife in your home and strife in your heart. Maybe you're one of those that you would say, hey, I'm estranged from a family member. And maybe you just want somebody to pray for you. We've got deacons that are there in that connect room who want to pray for you today. Just don't leave without letting God do the work in your life that he wants to do. Have your heart open and receptive and responsive to see what God can do in your life if you will simply say yes to his voice. Go give your life to Christ today. Go give your life to Jesus Christ today. See what God can do when you place your life fully in the hands of the Lord God who knows you and loves you and wants to do marvelous things in and through your life. You can walk out the door. You can ignore. Don't do that. Receive the Lord today. And experience the wonderful grace that he offers you. Would you quietly stand where you are as I lead us in a word of prayer? God, thank you for your word. And Lord, sometimes we read your word and it's just so easy to follow. And yet, Lord, there are other times that we read it. And the problem is we understand it all too well. And we know that it's calling us and it's requiring something of us. And Lord, the easy thing for us to do is to stuff it down and to ignore it. But God, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would work in people's hearts and people would be receptive to your work and they would say yes to you. And Lord, I pray for those who are here today who have never received Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would give their life to Christ. We thank you for his atoning death, burial, and resurrection that changes us. And Lord, I pray for those that don't quite understand, are quite, you know, just unsure, Lord, give them confidence. And Lord, I pray that they would recognize that pulling on their heart is the Holy Spirit of God drawing them. God, give them faith and courage to walk into that connect room today. God, I pray for those who need to make other decisions, that you give them that same sense of confidence to follow you. And Lord, I pray for those today who are struggling because they've heard a message that has gotten right in the middle of their heart. And God, I know there are hurting families and there's heartache in people's lives and there are some who are bitter about the past and their family member is gone and they can never reconcile with them. But Lord, you're the God who makes all things new. You're the God who works. Lord, give us hearts willing to be open to you and the work that you want to do in our lives. God, these are hard issues. And we need your spirit to be at work within us. But God, we also need the ability to have a tender heart and to say, Lord, where it is hardened, would you work in my life? And God, would you give me the grace that I need? God, there are none of us as parents who feel like we're perfect. We know we've made many mistakes. God, would you just extend your grace to us? And God, as children, may we do all that we can to honor our father and mother. Lord, we want to do what your word tells us to do. So, Lord, help us today to follow you. So, Lord, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.